And last week preached about, we're in Matthew 7 and 8, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be open. Last week we talked about everyone who asks, receives. But we discovered that there's a little bit of conditions on that stuff. Can I get amen? Right? Can't just live any old way you want to live and think that God's going to just give you whatever you want. Doesn't work that way. Right? We know with our natural children, if we give our kids whatever they want, they're a disaster. So if we know that, and we're not very sharp, how much more does the Lord know that? Right? And the Lord, my beloved, is looking for mature sons and daughters. Mature. Everybody say mature. So this morning, we're going to hit the second one, seeking and finding. Amen. And I'm going to move a little quickly here just for the sake of time. There's some good things in here. I really think that it's going to challenge us and encourage us. So, Father, we just thank you again for just a powerful time, sweet time of worship. Even that old song at the end, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. God, I pray that even some of those simple old songs come back to our hearts this week, God, as we prepare for next weekend and Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. God, I pray that just this week we take some time and step away, God. Step away from all the noise, all the junk in the world. Moses says, today, tomorrow, sanctify yourself because the Lord is going to show up. So, Lord, this morning, let our hearts be soft and receptive to the scriptures in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. So, similar to last week's sermon, going to just really tear this apart a little bit. But first of all, you know, how many of you ever look for something because you don't want to find it? Anybody ever lost their keys? For sure. You look for your keys because you want to find them, right? Right? You never look for something because you don't want to find it. You look for something because you're like, I need to find this stuff. One time when I first came on staff here to church, I bought this car, the only car I could afford at the time, and I had one key for it. And one time the key, there was a hook in our house. You know, y'all got key hooks? Yeah, we got key hooks, and I didn't put the key on the hook, and I couldn't find it. For like 3 days, could not find this key anywhere. Searched the entire house. I mean, I tore everything apart. And one day, I go and I pull my jacket off the jacket hook, and the keys are on the hook behind the jacket. And church, I called my wife. I said, babe, you are not going to believe what the Lord just did. She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I moved this jacket 6 times easy, maybe 7, 8, 9 times, and those keys were not there. And now they're there. She's like, that's not what happened. I'm like, I'm telling you. The Lord made these disappear and then made them reappear on the hook. On the wrong hook. But my beloved, we look for things because we want to find them, don't we? Isn't it frustrating when we seek the Lord and we don't feel like we're finding anything? Come on, let's be real, right? How many times have we spent in the scriptures or prayer, and we just, man, I'm like, I got nothing. So truth, that's part of the journey. Can I get amen? From anybody that's had a few empty feeling prayer sessions, right? A few seasons of like, Lord, where are you? Right? It's part of the journey. Don't get discouraged. But I want to talk about, before we get into this, I want to, just as we're worshiping today, I just really want to encourage you, please, as we're talking about prayer for a few weeks here, please don't complicate prayer. Can I get amen? Sometimes we're like, oh my gosh, am I doing it right? Is your heart turned towards heaven? Then you're doing it okay. We need to grow, but the important thing is, am I by faith talking to my Father who's seated on the throne? Am I looking to heaven and calling heaven forth into these, whatever I'm praying about, right? There's no like right or wrong way to do it, but there's some principles in here that will help our prayer life be more effective. Is that all right? So first of all, church, easy to fall into the trap of seeking answers, breakthroughs, blessings, miracles, healings, and all that stuff while claiming to be seeking God. come on, if we're honest, most of the times we pray because we're praying about, you know, finding our keys because we want to find our keys, and that's okay. But prayer is not about getting stuff from God. It's about drawing close to God. We had a great leaders meeting yesterday, really good one. And Steve and Lenita are not here this morning. They're with their children, but we were getting done, and Lenita said she heard this, the Lord speak to her just the other day. And this is what the Lord said to her. You guys remember what she said? I was like, oh, my goodness. This is what the Lord says. The Lord says, what if, right? What if your treasure box in heaven is only full of the times of prayer that you didn't ask me for anything? It's all that's in it is you just want to spend time with me. The Lord says, what if? I was like, uh-oh. Because let's face it, in Jesus' name, Lord, bless this person. Do this, do this, do this, do this, right? We're always about do this, answer this, fix this, heal them. But how much of it is like, I just want to know you? Wow. Is that all right? See, what we really want in our humanity is what the Lord can do around us rather than what he wants to do in us. We want the Lord to fix our marriage, fix our kids, fix our finances, fix our ministry, fix our career, fix our crazy neighbors, free us from sin and addiction, all kinds of stuff without us actually changing anything. The problem with all those scenarios, my beloved, is that there's a common denominator that is associated with every single one of those problems. That common denominator is me. It's you. Right? I remember years ago I told a young man coming to our church, we're still friends. He doesn't come here currently, but we're still friends. And I told him, he says, Pastor, I'm so upset. Why won't God fix this? I said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, son, I'm using his circumstances to change him. When he changes, that stuff won't even matter anymore. And I was like, I ain't telling him that. And the Lord's like, oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. So I was like, all right, fine. He's going to be mad, though, I'm telling you. So I told him, and he was mad. I said, see, it's not my fault. Is that all right? See, if we find him, if we find God, which is not a one-time event, I want you to hear a good theme in this sermon this morning. Finding the Lord is not a one-time event. It's a lifetime of finding God. Do you know one of the reasons some theologians think that the angels fly around the throne forever and ever crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Some theologians think that he says holy, holy, holy because it's the Trinity. Holy is the Father, holy is the Son, holy is the Holy Spirit. But also in the Hebrew language, three times right in a row is the most expressive way to say something, right? It's a complete, he's completely holy. But they also say that they cry out forever and ever and ever, because as they're flying around God's throne, they keep seeing aspects of who God is that they had never seen before. Do you know, no matter how much someone on earth knows the Lord, they are scratching the surface. Come on, raise your hands. How many of you have ever had an encounter with the Lord where you're like, dude, if I die right now, it's all good? For sure. And you walk out and you're like, what on earth do I get so cranky about? Right? It's just, God just, he just pulls the choke chain on you, you know, and he's like, will you stop it? You know, get your eyes up this way, right? Lift up your eyes to the hills, right? Look up. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 25 through 31, a little bit of context here. So we're talking about seeking and finding, right? Seeking and finding. When you become the father of children and children's children and have remained long in the land and act corruptly and make an idol in the form of anything and do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord your God so as to provoke him to anger, who's I right here? God. This is God speaking, right? I call heaven and earth to witness it. Actually, it's probably Moses now that I'm thinking about it. Either way, it's kind of hairy. Listen to what he says. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will surely perish quickly from the land where you are going over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not live long on it, but it will be utterly destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord drives you. There you will serve gods, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But, everybody say but. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will what, church? Oh. You'll find him. Everybody say if. If you search for him with all your heart and with all your soul. You know what? I have no idea what that actually means. I've been 20 years in this thing, and it's like, what exactly, you know? It's like, I've gone through seasons where I'm like, I feel so close to God. I feel like, man, I'm really getting this thing nailed down. And then the next day, it's just like, what on earth is going on? It's kind of like golf, you know? You hit a good shot, and you're like, oh, there it is. And then 30 shots that you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. Consecutively in a row that I know what I'm doing. Is that all right? I don't know. I think part of this is like sincerity, right? Seek the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. When you are in distress, verse 30, and all these things have come upon you, in the latter days you'll return to the Lord your God and listen to his voice. You know, if you read through the Old Testament, you see this phrase. Some of you that are new with me, you've never heard this. Me teach it. Maybe you heard it elsewhere, but you see this phrase, obey the Lord your God, right? Obey the Lord your God. Obey the Lord your God. You see this phrase over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament. But if you look at the Hebrew phrasing right there, the Hebrew phrasing is shami, shami, or shema, shema, ani, kol. It means listen, listen to my voice. No punctuation in Hebrew. So two words back in the right, like holy, holy, holy. Shema, shema means listen, right? So when we reread it in English, it says obey the Lord your God, but the Hebrew phrasing is listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Listen to the voice. Right? Now we got folks get off the rails nowadays because they're like, well, the Lord told me to do this. But what the Lord told them to do is contrary to Scripture. So we can be sure that the Lord did not tell them to do that. Because the Lord will never speak one thing that violates his written word, ever. He'll never do it. Can I get amen? How do I learn to hear the voice of the Lord? We'll spend some time listening to hear, because the Holy Spirit's here if you're saved. He's not here, he's here. Lives in your center of your being, right? Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit, right? The voice is here. I'm telling you, church, if you tune your heart right, you will recognize this voice coming from here into your mind. You'll also recognize voices coming from out here trying to get in. Right? The voice is here. So the way you learn to hear the Holy Spirit is listen, not like a Disney, not like, you know, follow your heart. No, garbage. Your heart is deceitful, all right? Follow the Spirit of God who lives in your heart, right? And check it with the Word of God. Check it with a seasoned Christian who you know hears the voice of the Lord, right? And be humble. If you're wrong, just admit you're wrong. Is that all right? Bonus. I want you to look at this section of Deuteronomy just for a moment here. The Lord is pronouncing this situation. Look at what he's saying. You're going to get into the promised land. You're going to have children and children's children, so three generations, and the Lord is effectively guaranteeing after you hit three generations in, you're going to go off the rails. You study revivals, study the moves of God in the Bible, and then study bona fide revivals on the earth. Typically, you hit the third generation is when the thing goes off the rails. You got the people that saw it. You got the first hand witnesses as a second generation. By the third generation, they're like, okay, Dad, I'm so tired of all those stories about God. Third generation is when things go off the rails. Right? This is what the Lord's saying. You're going to be a father of children and children's children, and you're going to go off the rails. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to scatter you. I'm going to discipline you. There's some of you are going to die. There's going to be a small number left, but from wherever you've been scattered, whatever you're going through, whatever situation you've gotten yourself into, whatever kind of mess you have made out of your life, if you will turn back to heaven and seek the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, the Lord says, I will bring you back. Church, this is a covenant before Jesus paid for our sin. What? Isn't that crazy? I had a conversation with a good friend the other day on Facebook, and he's got this mindset like old covenant God and new covenant God are different. I'm like, bro, no. Oh my goodness, no. If we think that, that's one of the reasons that we're dumbing down the cross of Christ. Because it's like, you gotta understand, God has always been holy. He's always had these standards. Every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone, right? You look at all the Pharisees come to Jesus. Hey, teacher, tell us, the law says this. What are you saying? He's like, he takes the law and ratchets it up about a mile. You've heard it said of old, thou shalt not murder, but I say to you, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've already committed murder. You've heard it said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, gentlemen, dude, man, we got to stop preaching sloppy grace in the church. Grace is what enables me to be holy as he is holy. Is that all right? Not weird. Holy. Everybody all right? From there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart, all your soul. Right? Jeremiah 29, verse 10 through 14. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. Think about verse 10. I'd never really paid much attention to verse 10, but you know what the Lord's saying? This is the Babylonian captivity. He's saying, look, you're going to have 70 years. The Lord's like, I'm not going to talk to you one time for 70 years. Why are they going to Babylon? Because they sinned against God. They won't stop. They will not stop sinning. They will not stop running away from the Lord and rebelling against him. And he says, fine. You want to do your own thing? Go for it. How many of us have got kids? Right? When your kids get off the rails, you know, the parents, like our brains calculate pretty quickly. You're like, okay, you're not going to die from that. Probably won't go to jail from it either. Go for it, Junior. Let me know how it works out. Right? You try to tell them, like, dude, don't do that. And they're like, whatever, Dad. Whatever, Mom. You're like, all right, dude, go for it. You know, my dad's favorite thing was, does it hurt when you did that? Then stop doing it. Right? Is that all right? Church, think about it. If we can do that, how much worse can God let us make our own choices? He gives us some slack in the leash. He's like, oh, you want to do that? Go ahead. Go for it. Let me know how it works out. Can I get amen? Let's read it again and get some context. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, look what he says, I will visit you, suggesting he's not going to visit them for 70 years. I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place, which is what? The promised land, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then, everybody say then. Then, after what? 70 years of Babylon, right? After you go through this period of the Lord saying, I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to teach you to stop doing this. I'm going to put you through a season that's unpleasant. A season where I'm going to withdraw from you. A season where I'm going to step back and let you have your own way. Are you done yet? You know how many times, my beloved, I've heard the Lord say to me, are you done yet? Oh, nope. Man, is he so patient. Aren't you glad that you're not God? All of us, man, I'd have killed everybody. You're done. See ya. For real. I mean, come on. God is so patient. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Again, suggesting for 70 years he's not going to listen. Right? Verse 13, you will seek me and what, church? Say it together. Find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I heard Tommy Tenney, I referenced Tommy Tenney a few weeks ago in a sermon. Tommy Tenney wrote this book, Revivalist, pretty, his first book was real good. And he talks about God, that God hides himself. And he says, but God doesn't hide himself so that he can't be found. He hides himself so that he can be found. And he describes playing hide and seek with his kids when they were little. And, not my little ones, they love playing hide and seek. If don't say hide and seek around my kids because you're tied up for an hour, okay? But they want to play hide and seek, and so they'll count. Everly can actually count fairly well, but she counts to 30 but gets there in like 8 numbers. It's just this random skipping about. And so you got to hide in 8 seconds because that's all you got, right? But Tommy Tenney, he talks about, he says, I would hide, like I'd go behind like the floor-to-ceiling curtains. I'd go behind the curtain, but I'd stick my foot at the bottom, right? Or I'd go and I'd go somewhere where I was hidden, but part of me was showing because I enjoyed her joy in finding me. My beloved, the Lord doesn't hide because he does not want to be found. He hides because he does. He hides because he says, I want you to search for me. I want you to turn the TV off. I want you to, this is a hard one for me, man. My wife is there. She'll tell you. He says, I want you to put your phone down. Oh my gosh, is the phone from the devil? I don't know. iPhone's got an apple with a bite out of the back. That's their logo. That might be from the devil. I don't know. Biting from the wrong fruit. I'm not sure. I like iPhones, but maybe we're all deceived. Who knows? Can I get an amen? The Lord hides because he says, I want you to come search for me. Church, I tell you what. You have an encounter with God. You cannot go back. I defy you. Anybody that I have seen that says that they have an encounter with God and they turn and walk away, you did not have an encounter with God. You had an emotional experience. Church service was real good. You might have cried at the altar. But if you had a glimpse of God, you can't go back. You can't go back. What does Peter say when they're asking him, who do men say I am? And they're saying, well, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're this prophet, and some say you're that. And he says, well, who do you say I am? And Peter jumps up, he says, you are the Messiah, you are the Savior, the Son of the living God. Exactly the wording there, I don't understand, right? But I don't remember. But he says, you are the Lord, the Son of the Most High God, right? You are the one, right? And he says, you alone have the words of life. Where else can I go? Peter was a train wreck. A train wreck, but he knew one thing. I'm not going anywhere. Is that all right? So I want to hit in Jeremiah here, and we're almost done. Maybe. The Lord can do just about anything. Can I get amen? From somebody. The only thing that the Lord cannot do is violate his own word. Already talked about that, right? The Lord will not, cannot violate his own word. He won't do it, right? But aside from that, God can do just about anything, right? The Lord can defy the laws of nature. The Lord can bend and manipulate time. The Lord can bring things that exist out of things that don't exist. The Bible says that he makes everything that is seen out of that which was not seen. It's like the whole Big Bang Theory. You're like, bro, you know, Big Bang, right? All the space dust came together and they started, well, why? We don't know that. We don't understand that. But, you know, boom. You know what creationists will say? Where'd the dust come from? One another kind of sarcastic joke about, you know, evolution and the whole thing is some scientists one day come to God and they say, God, we don't need you anymore. We figured out how to create man. We figured out how to create life out of dirt. And the Lord says, really? Well, go ahead. So they bend down and scoop up the dirt. The Lord says, get your own dirt. That's mine. Right? Get your own dirt. Can't use my dirt. Isn't that good? Evolution, my gosh, man. Evolution, it's like one preacher says, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Think about it. If you don't believe in God, there are so many things that make no sense at all. If you believe in God, you're like, okay, I don't understand that, but he does, and he makes it work. Perfect. Sounds good to me. Is that all right, church? So if we think about this, God can do literally anything that he wants. His power, his ability is quite literally beyond our comprehension. But, everybody say but, when we start talking about his plans, I think we quickly get into the weeds. We quickly wander off the path. Like his plan, church, his plan is to redeem mankind. When Adam and Eve sin in the garden, God doesn't freak out. Oh my gosh, what do I do now? He knows what's going to happen. The Bible says that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the world. Before Adam was a twinkle in God's eye, he already knew that Jesus was the Lamb of God that was going to pay for the sin of mankind. He knew it. Romans says that God shuts up all people under disobedience so that he may show mercy to all. God built this whole system in the old covenant that he knew we could not fulfill. We would fail and we would fail miserably. He did it on purpose to show us how much he loves us. It sounds like manipulative, doesn't it? But he's God. We know that he doesn't manipulate. Isn't that crazy? That's in Romans like chapter 9, I think, if you want to look for it. It's verse 33 somewhere in there, one of those chapters. For sure, right? But think about it. God knows. He says, I created you, the crown of my creation, the most glorious thing I made. I knew you were going to reject me, and I already had a plan to win you back. Talk about love. My goodness. But church, I think if you pay attention to the theme throughout scriptures, are there promises, right? We talked about it in worship this morning. Can the Lord give me a promise personally and you a promise? Absolutely, without doubt. I hope all of you have received a personal promise from the Lord. So at least one, hopefully a whole bunch of them, right? And we can run after those things and seek those things and say, okay, Lord, how do I walk that path? How do I get there, what you're talking to me about, right? But the promise we see in the scriptures, my beloved, everything points to the cross. Everything points to Jesus. When Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, is some count slowness, but he's patient towards you, not willing that anyone should perish. Church, it's not promises with an S. It's one promise. He says the slackness that you're talking about is the second coming of Christ to pull out his people. Jeremiah's like, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He's like, look, they're like, wow, great. We get to go back to the promised land. Read just a little further in Jeremiah. You know he starts talking about? Jesus. I know the plan, the Lord says. And there's nothing you can do to derail my plan for you. That's real good news. One guy says like this. He says, when God called you, he had your stupidity factored in already. I was like, praise God, because I got a plenty of that. Right? Is this all right, church? Talking about seeking and finding. Let's ask a question here. How many of you have ever found an incredible blessing from God, like just blew your mind. Right? I'm not talking about an encounter. I'm talking about just this massive breakthrough, something financial, something emotional, something relational, you know, restoration, something like this, right? We've, many of us raised our hands. Okay, how many of you now can look back at that incredible discovery, that incredible find, and realize that it's kind of worn out? Right? Because it's a blessing from God. You know what happens with blessings? They get used up. Can I get amen? Blessings, what we're supposed to do with blessings is we enjoy them when they come. We put a stone down. We build a little pile of memory stones. Oh, yes, I remember when the Lord did that. I remember when he healed me. I remember when he set me free. I remember when he delivered me from that addiction. I remember when God did this. I remember when he did this, right? And when we face something new, we look back and say, oh, okay, I remember. All right, let's hit this one with some confidence. If he did it then, he's going to do it now. Is that right? But my beloved, I want to encourage you. Seek him. It's so tempting to get down this way and start seeking this stuff, right? Start seeking, you know, a promotion at work. Man, should we pray about promotions at work? Of course. Of course. But you know what? You get promoted at work, guess what? You're probably not going to like that new position. You see how fast she answered that one up here? Yikes. We'll go pray for this girl when we're done. I didn't even finish the sentence. She's like, preach it. Come on, church. Oh, we get our dream job, and then you're in it for 6 months, and you're like, this is a nightmare job. Right? How many times, my beloved, we pray for this breakthrough, and we get it, and we're like, you know, a new car, you know? And then somebody, you know, dents it in the parking lot, and you're like, whoa, so much for that. Right? God's like, dude. Amen. Mark 12. Almost done. Really, I'm almost done. Mark 12, verse 28, Jesus speaking here. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, this scribe, right, asked him this, what commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with what, church? Let's say it together. All. Your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So let's just finish up today by kind of examining this thing. I think you guys are catching it, right? There's Jesus, Matthew 7, he says, everyone who seeks finds. Right, seems pretty straightforward. Hey, man, well, I'm seeking. I'm not really finding anything. Well, it's because there's some, the Lord say, all right, come on, I need a little more. Right? Like, you know, I got my Devos in the morning. Hey, cool, I read Devos too. But you know what? We can read Devos all day long and not be seeking God. Can I get amen? I heard a whoo from the back. Look, Devos are great, man. But what you're getting is like you're like a little baby bird in the nest, and the mom flies in and goes. Somebody else chewed that up for you. You want a biblical reference for that? It's like he says, you know, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, right? But then he's talking to other people. He's like, y'all should be eating some steaks by now. But I got to keep giving you this baby food. Because you're not able to take off a piece of meat and chew it yourself. Right? We got a lot of immaturity in the body of Christ in America. Can I get amen? Same thing other countries. I asked some friends in South Africa. They said when Reinhard Bonnke went through Africa, powerful man of God, man, that got millions of folks got saved. But this is what my friends that are on the ground in South Africa, this is what they say. They say, man, we bless God for Reinhard Bonnke. We bless God for what he did. But he says Christianity covered Africa, but it's about 2 inches deep. Pastors, where we went on a mission trip, pastors preaching the gospel on Sundays, take their kids to the witch doctor on Monday. It's just their ancestry. It's ingrained into the culture. right? So yeah, we hear the gospel, but it's shallow. There's nothing deep. Can I get amen? God wants to go deep. Dig down. Get on a foundation. Is that all right? Right? I need to engage my heart, my beloved. That's what I'm saying to you this morning. I need to engage my soul. I need to get into the Lord. I need to, like, our soul is mind, will, and emotions, right? It's our humanity. It's who we are. It's our identity. It's our soul, right? And there's so much junk pulling on our soul all day, every day. My goodness, you can't buy nothing. We don't have cable TV. You want to know why? Because you cannot turn TV on for 5 minutes without seeing a commercial about what you need to buy next. I just bought that. My goodness, is iPhone 29 out yet? I just got a 12. 29 is out in like 3 weeks. And it's bigger and better and faster. I got to have it. It's this constant bombardment of our soul. Right? Look at this. Look at this. Look at that. Look over here. Look over here. God says, look up. Fix your eyes on Him. Church, this thing about seeking God with all of our heart, all of our soul, it's not a destination. I want you to write that down if you're taking notes. It's not a destination. You're never going to arrive there and just kick your feet up. Want to know why? Because your heart is deep, man. Gosh, I was working on this super early this morning, up real early, finishing this up. And just felt the Spirit of God, right? The Bible says, the Lord is the one who searches the hearts and the minds. If you ever had the Holy Spirit bring something up out of your heart and you went, what on earth is that? Ugly and black and dark. And you're like, there's no way that was in there. And He's like, oh yeah, there's more where that came from. Anybody other than me? Come on, church. See, it's giving our heart to God. And then, you know what? Tomorrow when I wake up, I say, God, you can have my heart again. And then the day after that, I wake up and I say, God, you can have it again. You dig. I don't know what's in there. You go digging. You're the one that searches the hearts and the minds of men. You search me out, God. Search me and know me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked ways within me. Search me, oh God. And you know what? When God starts peeling some of that junk out of your soul, all He's looking for is saying, oh God, I repent. Cleanse me of that thing. Take that out of my heart, God. I don't want that. Can I get amen, church? The Lord is not condemning you. He's healing you. He's setting you free. Is that all right? So I've had seasons, as I said earlier, where when I'm just acutely aware that I'm tuned in with God, where I'm really just locked into a place of surrender. My heart and soul are tuned toward Abba in loving adoration and obedience. Church, you know what? If you're really, man, if you're in a place where you're just locked in with God, obedience is so easy. It's so easy. He's like, hey, go do this. You're like, all right. No worries. But as soon as we let our soul, our heart gets turned just a little bit, right? We hear some other voice and we turn just a little. And then the Lord says, hey, go do this. And we're like, yeah, but what about this? And it's, no, the Lord's saying, get that heart back over here. Get that heart back up this way, right? Obedience is our job. Outcome is His. Pray for that person. Well, what if nothing happens? Not my problem. Not my problem. I want you to give that person some money. Well, they're just going to, not my problem. I just want you to go and do this. Well, yeah, but you know, the Lord's like, so you're suggesting I don't understand something. Can't we be arrogant? The Lord's like, look, I know exactly what's going on. I know way more than you do, so just do what I told you to do. and let me take care of the outcome. See, church, when my soul is aligned with His Spirit, my emotions are pure and clean. My desires line up with His. I still enjoy life. I have fun, but it's from a different perspective and for a different reason. Is that all right? Let's stand to our feet. I want to leave you guys with this. Only one closing today. I actually want to, it's right here in my notes, so I want to open up the altar. And if you want to come, you can. If you don't, then that's fine too. I know, I've realized when the way I preach and teach, it's, you know, people like to grind on it for a little bit, and that's fine. But I want to leave you guys with this. What are we really seeking? What are we really seeking? Right? Not like your spouse or your kids or your, no, like me. What do I really want? Right? Who do I really want? Who do I really want? Because when we want Him, nothing else matters. It's amazing when we many of us, I think, could say we've been through seasons where we're just so tuned. And you know what? It's crazy because I'm looking back, I can see blessings just flowing, and I didn't even care. Didn't care. Because it was just like, I'm this way. This thing isn't distracting me, right? Is your life in His hands? So if that's, you've never been saved, there's that question. But church, many of us are saved here, and I think sometimes we you know, we take our life back. We're like, whoa, I got this one. But He's like, nah, just give it to me. Is your life in His hands? Have you ever put your life in His hands? That's another one in which I don't think there's a destination, but this journey. It's not like, okay, I gave all my life to Jesus. Well, till tomorrow. Until all your plans get thrown under the bus because someone in your family gets sick. Until all your, you know, oh yeah, I know what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden something hits you out of nowhere and everything you're planning is gone. That's the test. Is my life really in His hands? Can He do whatever He wants to do? Can He direct me anywhere He wants to direct me? Peter says, if it is the Lord's will that you should suffer. Suggesting that there are people that it is the Lord's will that they suffer. That's their lot in life as a Christian. But you know what the Bible says? If our eyes are right and our hearts are right, the Bible says that those who suffer for the Lord's sake will get a greater reward when they get to the other side. What are we fixing our hearts on, my beloved? Here and now, or my home that I'm going to? Father, in Jesus' name, help us, God, to not be so selfish in the things that we seek. Lord, You are a God of abundance. You are a God of blessings. You are a God who loves to pour out on Your children, who loves to prosper us, who loves to heal us, who loves to just, Lord, set us apart with how good You are. Scriptures talk about this many, many times, my beloved. That God says, the nations around you will fear and tremble because of all the good that I do for you. But Lord God, as humans, it's so easy for us to receive blessings and start worshiping the blessing. We get blessed and we try to maintain it. The Lord's like, no, it's just a blessing. Keep moving. I'll give you another one. Lord, we want to maintain our connection with you. Jesus said it last week, my beloved. If you abide in me, you do it. If you abide, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you want and it shall be done. So, Father, help us this week, Lord, as we prepare for Resurrection Sunday, prepare for a time of repentance and humility on Friday night, God. We ask that this week would be a week that we'd hear that still small voice pulling us aside, pulling us apart, pulling us away. Lord, pulling us, saying, when you turn the TV on, you ought not to be watching that anymore. You ought not to be looking at that. You shouldn't be listening to that. Help us to hear that little voice in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said amen. Guys, we've got one thing we need to pray for, and I almost forgot, Rana. Rana's got a friend in the hospital. Is she in Bristol? St. Mary's. And she's young, right? I'm almost that old, so that's definitely young. She's really, really, COVID is hitting her super hard, in a coma. Her name is Dawn. So I want to pray for Dawn here, if we can agree. COVID, man, what a weird season we've been through. Isn't that right, church? Strange. It's really, really odd. Father, we lift Dawn to you right now. And Lord, we agree. And scripture says, any two of you agree as touching any one thing, shall be done. Shall be done. It shall be done. And so God, we release that faith over Dawn's life right now. I don't know if she knows you, she doesn't. But Father, you heal all kinds of sinners in the Bible. We're all sinners. You heal us all, God. So Father, I release healing power over Dawn's life right now. COVID, we command you to wither up and die in Jesus' mighty name. We command you to wither up and die. Every ounce of that virus that is plaguing that woman's body, we command you to be gone in Jesus' mighty name, Father. We ask that, Lord, she would be raised up out of that sick bed this very moment, Father God. That, Lord, she would start bouncing out of this coma, Father. That her lungs would start breathing. Father, that everything that is supposed to be working properly according to your design, oh God, that you would raise her up, Father. Lord, that we decree and declare, Dawn, you will live and you will not die. Father, we speak against any lingering issues. I've heard so many stories of people with lingering, bizarre lingering issues from COVID. Lord, we command that this thing flees with zero. Zero. Everybody say zero. Zero lingering effects. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you for raising Dawn up, oh God. Show her how good you are. Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Guys, have an awesome week. Prayer is here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Anybody's welcome. Love to have you. Come and join us to pray for a little bit and see all of you all on Friday night at 7 o'clock. In Jesus' name, amen.